Good afternoon. Can everybody hear me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So over here at AHRI, I'll list who's here. In the Woodford team room, it's Rupert Offiller and Austin Kim. I think Claire Tiemann is on the line as well. Anybody else?
This is Julie Eagle.
This is Tracy Pruitt.
Is Bill or Kareem Amreen on the phone or Marie?
Yes, we're on the phone.
Okay, all right. Okay, yeah.
So everybody, this is Rupert. Afternoon. If y'all don't mind, I guess we'll skip over the attendees for on the participant side because I think we've got over 100 people calling in. So we'll just let you know who from HRI is in. Other than the folks that Austin introduced, we also have history. And Maria Espolero will be calling in as well.
All right. So as a lot of you guys are aware, there's been several DOE issues with the template.
Hello.
If you all could just mute your phones, it's very helpful. Thank you.
All right. So as you guys are all aware, there's been several DOE template issues, and we're holding this webinar to try and resolve issues. We've already resolved a lot of them, I believe, correct?
Yeah.
There are dozens of new fields added, and waivers are not being accepted on the template. So, yeah, we're holding this webinar, and it will be posted later on for everybody's viewing. So if somebody misses out, then you guys can just access it again. You can all see what's shown on the screen. Yeah, it should be. All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so as you guys are also aware, Ken had been sending out updates before his departure, and the DOE template has not been updated since his departure back in February. So this, the DOE template is the latest one, and we're going to start holding this webinar to guide you through some of the changes. And I think Rupert is the expert on this field, correct? All right, do you want to go ahead?
Right. So good afternoon, everybody. Just so you all know, we also have Bill Tritsis and Karim on the line for any of the regulatory questions that you may have at the end. If anybody's on the line and not muted, could you please just mute the phone? So what we've sent out here, Austin sent out the spreadsheet on Friday that shows a breakdown basically of the fields that were added to the directory and whether or not they're required or optional in the directory. Austin, could you scroll back down? Can you scroll so you can show that? Okay. Also, we've included here the corresponding DOE template fields that are included in those error notifications that we send out to you all. So one thing that's, I think, been a little bit confusing for a lot of participants is where the errors are actually coming from. Many of you were not, you're not on compliance committee calls where the fields on the directory were, where it was decided that these new DOE fields would be made optional. There are some fields that were added to the directory based on the DOE test procedure. These were left optional on the directory just to account for the waivers that manufacturers might have applied for with DOE. Not knowing the exact nature of these waivers, what we chose to do is just give everybody a placeholder to put them on the directory, but we didn't make them required so that manufacturers that didn't have all this data would not be prevented from adding new models. So this was before the DOE reporting templates actually came out. So once they came out, we started programming the reporting function, but we left the fields in the directory optional for the same reason that, you know, some manufacturers might have had the waivers. So as we do with all of our federally regulated products, we send out emails to let everybody know which products we're unable to report to DOE. I'm sorry, was there a question? Okay. So basically, as you all know, we run the overnight process after you add models to the directory, and that's to ensure that we report them before we display them in public. So what happens is if a manufacturer adds records to the directory, we'll run that process and it'll populate the DOE template. And if there's required fields on the template that are left blank, it'll throw errors. And I'm sure you all have seen the emails from Allaire. Those are to notify you of the errors that are popping up on the DOE reports. Now, those errors tell you the DOE field that needs to be populated in order to be able to submit this record, and I think that's where some of the confusion comes from. They're not exactly the same name as what we have on the directory, but for the most part, if you're familiar with the directory, you'll be able to figure out which one needs to be filled out. But of course, there's over 100 or so fields that have been added by DOE, so it can be a little bit confusing. So we sent out this document to let everybody know which fields are being required by the template and which fields are being required by the directory. Also, there's an additional column F that shows a little bit more information about the enforcement rule that DOE had sent out in December of 2016. This includes a list of fields that are not required for ICMs. And so this is just to help the ICMs kind of figure out what's required in the report. Hopefully everybody's gotten a chance to take a look at the spreadsheet. Are there any questions?
Hi, Rupert. This is Craig Messmer. Are you going to go through each field then?
We can, but there's over 100 fields. I think probably if anybody had any specific questions, it'd be better to do it that way.
Okay, well, then I have a question on the basic model then for ICMs. As you know, we have what we call similarity groups. Okay. How does that show up on this? In our coil characteristics, we've been putting in similarity group where it asks for a basic model. Of course, more than one record will have the same similarity group. So does that carry forward into the records from the coil characteristics?
Yes, whatever you put into the basic model field should carry over into the template.
Sounds like we're doing it correctly on that part. I'm sure we'll have other questions. Doesn't sound like a lot of people have questions, so let me ask another one. We've had some recent uploads rejected for nominal airflows. Okay. Is there some confusion about what the for the heat on heat pumps, what the H1N is for? Because that was an issue for single stage outdoor units, and it didn't make any sense that we have to put an H1N CFM in there.
Hey, Craig, let me go to that field and see what the template says.
In a similar manner, for a single stage unit, I wanted to ask for the full airflow CFM for the H12 test conditions. If it's left blank, doesn't it automatically use the full airflow from the cooling side?
I guess to answer the first question, you're asking if there is any confusion whether or not this is required. The DOE template does require this H1N. I'm not the expert on the unitary program, so I'm not sure if this pertains to products with variable speed as well, but it looks like it's required for a full load.
Yeah, well, in the DOE documents, it describes H1N as for variable speed products. So I'm confused as to what this means. I mean, I'm perfectly happy with just copying what we have for the full flow airflow, the H12, if that's required, but we weren't using this field for that reason. There may be something that ASRI wants to get clarification from DOE, maybe a quick phone call to verify that.
But Greg, just Graham, we need to go back to the test procedure itself. I mean, what does the test procedure say? What does it say? Because if it's
well,
there,
I don't have it in front of me.
I don't have it in front of me.
I did read through it. Yeah, I did look through it, and H1N definition showed up under the variable speed discussion. They do. But it's a little bit confusing because they also talk about nominal airflow needing to be reported, but makes no sense when you have a single stage unit.
Yeah, we can double check the test procedure and see whether, if it's in conflict, then we'll have to raise it with DOE. Yeah.
It's not a serious thing. I just need to know what we need to fill in. I mean, like I said, we can certainly fill in the nominal and make it equal to the H12. That's not an issue. Just wanted to make sure that is, in fact, what we need to do.
Sure, Craig. We'll look into that, and if necessary, we'll get the clarification from DOE. Does anybody else on the line have any insight to that? Or can anybody else answer that question that's looked into the rulemaking a little bit closer? So we'll look into it and send something out to everybody.
This is a little off topic, but how can you guys change the heading to these really long descriptions? My software program was confused. Weird. It's okay. We'll move on.
So I guess since we haven't had any questions come up yet, I did have one follow-up, I guess, Kareem. We had contacted DOE to get some clarification on the waivers and which products are affected, whether it's new or existing. Do you have any more insight on that? Have they responded?
No, they haven't. And I did follow up with DOE. So it tells me that they don't know the answer to that question yet, or they are trying to sort it out internally. So I don't know. And for those of you who are not familiar with this, the question is the waiver and whether the waiver applies to all products that you make, that you manufacture, or only to those existing products. And I know that some of you believe that it applies to everything. So we asked the question because the templates obviously assume that the waiver doesn't make a difference. You still have to provide the information. So we asked DOE for clarification on that, and it has been over 2 weeks now, and we reminded them just recently, and we are still waiting for an answer. So we don't know, at least we don't have an official answer from DOE on that specific question.
Thanks, Corinne. If you just please keep us posted if you hear anything. And that's a good point, Karim. Some of the fields on the directory were left blank by DOE. Initially, they had released a version 5.1 template that had all of the test procedure fields as required. However, they did send out a revised one that made a lot of those fields optional. And if you look at column E, this will let you know whether or not those need to be filled in order for the report to be successfully submitted to DOE.
Okay, I was not aware of that. When was the change made?
They made it like a week after they released the first version. I think we were going back and forth with them asking some questions for clarification since we were trying to program this in, and they said, here's a revised one with optional fields. But then again, it doesn't refer to any waivers. It doesn't say that it's optional because of a waiver. It just says optional. So anybody can leave these fields blank and still be able to report because the template is not requiring it.
I have a question on the new ULE spreadsheet. Could you clarify the compressor nominal performance column?
This is a new. I was under the impression we were going to look at the USE template, but
this is Sarah at Train. Don't worry.
Yeah.
We can go over it later.
I'll answer the question anyway because there may be ULE manufacturers on this call. In the new template of the ULE directory that was released last week, there's a new column to identify the compressor performance. This is the nominal performance of the compressor of all your compressors put together in the system. The idea is that compressors are generally rated, or the ones that are used in ULE or unitary systems are generally rated with the AHRI standard 540. So there is a specific condition specified in the template we expect manufacturers to rate their compressors at, and the ULE manufacturers will put in the total compressor capacity of the unit or the system in that column. And just to remind everyone that is a back-end data. It's not going to be published. It's only meant to characterize, or it's only meant as a character of the BMG definition.
You're referring to the mass upload template?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ruben, this is Craig Messmer
here. Yes, Craig.
Couple of questions on functionality of the AHRI web input screen. We still have some records that just for some reason can't be uploaded, and it would be great if we get a little more timely feedback on what the problem of the record is. So we can, if it's a missing field or incorrect field, and the time delay between submission and finding out that it's not there is kind of long. I know that Marie's been looking into that, but just a comment on that. Also, when we do edit a record, the osmolar power field, it's shown on the web screen with two decimal places. And so, but there's an error in that if you try to resubmit because it only allows one decimal place. So it's just an annoyance. I mean, it's easy to fix, but it might be easy on your end to fix it so we don't have that issue anymore if we have to edit a record. Since we are an ICM, it would be a really great thing to do if we could somehow show that the optional ICM fields are, in fact, optional, you know, gray them out or something like that. I know it's a lot of work to do all that, so, you know, it's not an immediate thing. Just some functional improvements would be helpful. We have an awful lot of new fields to fill in, and, of course, that's a different issue.
Sure, Craig.
We'll note all those issues and get back to you. I'm not sure if we'll have to take a look on whether it's something we want to implement in next gen or the current directory, since we're trying not to do the same changes in both systems, but it's definitely something that we can look into, and you know, we're always trying to improve the user interface.
I didn't realize this was still not the new one yet. So okay.
Right. Yeah. The new one should be out in later this year. I think we're aiming for August of 2017. Yeah, and that's the other thing that's kind of tricky is that we're having to build a new system and maintain this one at the same time. So regarding the lag time, I think if the directory validations allow the model to be added, then it won't throw you an error. But hopefully the spreadsheet that we sent out will give you a little bit more. It'll let you know which ones might cause an error message to pop up the next day. The thing is, it's the overnight process has to take that whole. You know, it takes a couple hours to validate and create the reports for the entire directory. So that's the reason for the lag, and this kind of ensures that we can report them in as soon as possible after they're added. It's tough to figure out what's going to pop up on the DOE error report if the directory allows the record to be added. So I see what you're saying there. Hopefully this spreadsheet will help that.
Thank you.
No problem. So we'll look into the other issues as well.
I'll keep sending notes if we have anything. No big deal.
Okay.
Has the DOE template also started to accept the AEDM information the way it was supposed to be initially?
Yes, actually, it only accepts the AEDM now. There's no field for the ARM in this new template. So the sample size is also based on the AEDM and whether it's an HSVTC.
But it wasn't going into the public side of the directory because it wasn't going through DOE with the AEDM populated as yes?
It would depend on whether or not the sample size was correct. But the AEDM, if it's filled in, it shouldn't throw the error and tell you that it's empty.
Well, it wasn't throwing an error, but it required that it was no and then sample size two. To initially get it in on the public side, and then you had to go back in and edit it.
It required so the directory was requiring that it would be no.
Correct.
Okay, we'll look into that.
This is Ben Dulcich from Liebert. Does any of this have to do with Datacom cooling equipment?
No.
No, this is only for residential AC, HP, VSMS AC, and VSMS HP.
All right, thank you.
Now, you said residential, so it's not just single phase, not three phase?
Just
correct.
Single phase, yes.
Single phase only. So just so everybody knows, just so everybody's clear, anything that is in the unitary small directory, that's products that are under 65,000 that are water-cooled, evaporatively cooled, or single-phase, or sorry, three-phase, are reported on the commercial packaged AC and HP templates, not the residential ones. So those would be, those would go on the same templates as ULE.
Are you getting any other errors from other manufacturers that may be of interest to the rest of us?
I think the other errors that we're getting from other manufacturers are, you know, DOE didn't really add a lot of fields to any of the other programs like ULE and WSHP or PTAC or SPV. So those templates were not that much different from the older version. So the manufacturers that have been getting those errors are more used to seeing those same errors, like the PDF missing for commercial products or just fields that are not completed. The big issue was the residential AC and HP, since this one there were so many new fields added in a short period of time. But yeah, if anybody has any questions about any of the other programs or error messages that are occurring for those programs, feel free to contact me directly.
I've talked to a few other USE participants, and it seems like a lot of people are having trouble getting their data input accepted. So do you feel like that's been corrected now?
Well, there's
not complaining.
I think a lot of the questions we're getting are from manufacturers that are seeing these errors for the first time. I think for the most part, once we explain to them what the errors mean and how to fix it, it's usually pretty straightforward. I think the biggest issue for us is some of the fields for the ICMs that I think they don't have access to because of they're not included in the full report. But then again, a lot of the fields for ICMs are not required in the DOE template, so it's not really throwing that many of those kind of errors. For the most part, I think once we answer the questions for the first time, unless it's a bug in the directory itself, the questions are usually they get less and less. Hopefully, this spreadsheet will really explain that to everybody.
Hi, this is Tommy Rogers with Mortex. We're not having any problems on the AC side, but we continue to have errors on the heat pump side. And last week, Marie said that y'all had some bugs that needed to be worked out, and it should be a few days. When can we expect those bugs to be worked out?
Actually, we just released the fixes to production. I believe it was either Thursday or Friday last week. So those same bugs, I know which one you're talking about. They should be corrected by now.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
What we can see in ARI.
You mean the errors?
Well, we don't even see the errors on our side. My question would be, my name is Chris with Mortex, but we're not, when we do an entry for the heat pump side, we're not getting no errors back. So what? How do we see the errors?
So whenever we get the error summary report in the morning, we usually send them out to the participants. Whoever we have on file as the certification contact gets a list of the errors and the reference numbers that are affected.
How can we, well, we can discuss this another time, but how do we get people added to that list of people that received that report?
You can contact Austin. He's he sent out the meeting invites.
Yep. Send me an email, and I'll start the process to get another point of contact added to our distribution list for that company.
Could you clarify which bugs were fixed at the end of last week? Because we've had a handful of issues, specifically submitting heat pumps, and it would be nice to know which ones of those might have been fixed on Friday.
Sure. Marie, are you on the line?
Yes. The issues were fixed had to deal with the heating CDs, and that was fixed as of Thursday. Another one that was fixed was regarding the, I believe it was some of the nominal issues for the heating, and all of those should be fixed, and you would be able to see when the error report comes out, probably in today's error report, you should see a smaller number of HP errors that have been common throughout throughout all of last week and the week before.
Okay, so from discussions that have been happening here, it sounds like AHRI is expecting that we're getting error reports the next day from any submissions that we do, but in fact, we're not getting error reports for a number of days, if not a week or so. So there's quite a delay time between when we make a submission that might have had an error on the DOE side and when we actually find out that it didn't go through. AHRI know about that, and is that something that's being fixed?
This is Rupert. How often are you getting the error reports? Is it every week or every few days? I think probably one of the reasons that for the delay might be that for a lot of them, there's such a large number, and we have to basically pull them from the error report into an Excel file. That might be why there's a delay, but certainly we can take a look at sending them out in a more consistent, more frequent basis.
Quick question. If we received an error on a heat pump last week and it received an AHRI number, do we need to resubmit that? Because the ones that we received errors on are still not in.
No, receiving the AHRI reference number just means that the AHRI directory accepted the data, means that they passed the validations for the directory. But again, keep in mind that we left a couple of fields optional. So the DOE error report will let you know which fields did not trigger an error but do need to be filled in.
Okay, but this is regarding whatever bugs y'all have.
So any kind of errors that have not been resolved will keep popping up every day. So the next report you get, or the most recent report that you receive, it should have all those reference numbers with errors.
So just for a point of clarification, if there are no errors from the DOE error report, then the AHRI record moves to the public
correct
viewing?
Correct. So if there's no errors, that means we're able to generate the template and send it successfully to DOE.
Okay. Okay, so until that time, it's only we can only view it from our own access.
Correct. Like if you log in, yeah, and modify the record.
Okay. Yeah. We haven't been getting the reports in a timely manner either, so I'm sure that's going to be corrected now.
Okay. So the other thing that I did want to touch on is that we're preparing to do, as we do every year, the annual submission to DOE on July 1st. It's usually July 1st, but I think it's going to be July 5th because of the holiday. But what I did want to advise everybody is that all existing products that are in the directory have to have that have to have all the DOE test procedure data in there by June 5th. This is going to allow us to address any issues that might come up. It'll give us a month to notify manufacturers if there's anything missing, identify any additional bugs that might not have popped up because it's already an existing product that's been reported to DOE. So if everybody could just update all the data by June 5th, that'll give us time to test the submission and ensure that everything we send to DOE will be complete and accurate and without errors.
I have a follow-up question to that. In preparation for this reporting, we try to clean up our ratings, but I've noticed that our condenser characteristics and evaporator characteristics haven't been updated in literally 10 years. Is this something that is reported to anybody, or how critical is it that we update our characteristics, the condenser and evaporator and single package characteristics?
Well, the characteristics can be updated at any time. You can go in and update anytime, but we don't actually send the characteristics data, but we do pull from the characteristics data in order to populate the model data, and that model data gets sent to DOE. So if anything needs to be updated in the characteristics, go ahead and update it. It'll affect all the models that are tied to that condenser, and then that data will be sent to DOE.
It doesn't really hurt to have older information in there. Is that correct? Like, will we have a penalty if we have characteristics that are 10 years old that we haven't built in, in a decade? Is that going to hurt anybody or hurt us in any way? Like, how critical is it that we remove all old stuff? We kind of like to have a record of what we have had in there. And so if it's not critical, we could just keep it just more of as a reference. But how critical is it to you guys that we remove everything that's old?
There's no penalty for having old data in there. It's just a matter of making sure that the data is accurate at all times. If there's old ones in there that are not being used, I don't think that, we won't penalize you for that. And if it's not being used in any models anymore, it's not going to get reported to DOE. Like, for example, if it's for an archived record and it's already been sent in as a deleted model, it'll no longer be certified to DOE. I don't see any way that you could really be penalized for having old data in the system unless it's out of date and, causes issues in testing.
Okay, or, awesome. That was just on my to-do list, and I wondered how critical that was. So thank you for explaining. I appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that being said, it's good. It'll help us to have accurate data in there. So that just helps us to manage the directory a little bit easier. And as you all, I'm sure, are aware, there's millions of models on the directory, so the more we can slim that down to, the more efficiently we can work with it.
We have a question. On the basic model numbers, we get an error that is limited to 30 characters. Some of our model names are longer than that. Is there something we can do about that?
Has that error been coming up lately?
Yeah.
I think we put in some programming to increase that limit, but I'm not sure if it's been pushed to production yet. It's pretty recent. It probably hasn't. Marie, do you know anything about that?
Sorry, you said it was for basic model number?
Yes. For the indoor model number.
Oh, for the indoor model number. So the indoor model number, the reason why there is a limitation for it is if you are marked as sold in California, California requirements or the California database will only accept 30 characters for that for their COIL model numbers. So if it is marked as sold in California as yes, and you want to report that indoor model in, the California programming will reject it. So we had put a validation in the directory to accommodate for that. That way you wouldn't error out for California.
So does that mean we're just limited to 30 characters?
We had limited I believe it's at 30 characters if you mark that record as sold in California as yes.
So are we to go back and change our model names or?
Well, for the, on that part, I'm not sure. All I know is that the California database will only accept characters of 30 or less. And we have tried to increase, we've tried to ask them to increase that before and they have not replied. I don't know if we can probably try again and see if they will be acceptable to that. But for now, they have kept that limit at 30.
And actually, just to add to that, thanks, Marie. The directory actually will not let you change the model number once it's been created. So if probably when it was created, it was not marked for sale in California, since this is a pretty old validation that's been in there for a while. But if you would like it to be reported to California, you'll have to add a new record with a different model number. So that would be a different reference number.
These model names have not changed. It's you know, reported to California. Some of these are high cell volume combinations, and that has not changed in the past few years.
Oh.
The CEC database went in place, I believe, about 2 years ago.
In August 2016.
Yeah. So when the CEC database went into effect, they had declared all the model numbers, they had declared parameters on how long model numbers could be because their system was programmed that way. And that could account, if these are older models or submitted to California prior to that, they may have gotten into the California database then, but unfortunately they will not go in now if they're anything above 30.
Right. Thanks again, Marie. I think this might affect just those older models that were added before the directory was updated, since, other models that were in there before we had changed over the directory would still be in there. It wouldn't be taken down or anything. But if you tried to edit them, if you try to change anything, then it won't let you save unless it passes the new validations.
So that leads us to change the indoor model names, and that might affect hundreds, even thousands of combinations.
Is there any way I can ask the CA?
Yeah, we're in communications with CEC, right?
Yes.
When do we know when we can get a response, like a final answer?
This is Karim. It's a hard question to answer. We made the request. Whether they're gonna agree with us or not, we don't know. I think on their end, it means that they'll have to reprogram those the database, and I don't think they don't want to do that. So to be honest with you, I don't have a good answer for you. We don't know at this point in time whether this issue is going to be resolved.
You can understand the hardship of us changing the model names of existing models, changing literatures, and it affects thousands of combinations.
We fully understand that. Again, it's not an HRA requirement, it's a CEC requirement, and if you had to submit your data on your own to CEC, you will have to comply with the 30, the number of character of 30. So it's not an HRI requirement. Having said that, we fully understand your concerns, and we are trying to resolve it, and we're doing our best to do that, but we cannot guarantee that they will agree with us.
I don't know if you saw that, got any note or not. Remember, I was telling you that there are...
Okay. So I understand, and thanks for communicating to CC about that. You're trying again to ask them, right? If you can let us know how they respond or if they respond, we appreciate that as well.
Sure, we will. Yep.
Read something, agent.
Are there any more questions?
I do.
Yes, I've noticed that. I've got two people.
Go ahead.
I've noticed that some of our submissions that we've been trying to get into the DOE directory have disappeared, and I'm not sure what's going on there. Is AHRI, every time we submit an edit, is AHRI trying to resubmit that? And is there any limit, either time length or number of submission attempts before AHRI removes that combination from the manufacturer view?
If anything changes in the records, we do submit it, but that should not trigger a removal from the DOE site. What might be happening is if a record is older than 12 months, then it would be essentially DOE only accepts certifications for 12 months at a time, and that's why we have the annual submission. If it's an older record, it should have been included in the annual submission. But if you could just send me a list of the ones that are missing, I can look into it.
Okay. Yeah, we'll reach out on those. Thank you.
No problem. Yeah, so typically a record doesn't get removed from the DOE list either because of DOE removing it or because AHRI sends a delete report, which we only do for archive models. So if a model is marked discontinued on the directory, we don't send anything to DOE. It's only if it's marked as archived or removed from the directory and archived.
Okay. Yeah, that's not the case. So we'll reach out. Thank you.
Okay. No problem.
If we load ratings and immediately notice that something was incorrect, like we put yes under do not publish for an example, what is the way that we can correct that? This is something that's not editable, right? I can't edit it myself and I have to contact AHRI. Can you remind me again the process that we have to go through? We have to get in queue, I know, but can you remind us the process for that? If we need to update something that we just loaded, that if we loaded it incorrectly and we just noticed it.
Sure. That sounds like you add a record and you want it to be marked as invalid and removed, right? Or edited?
Yeah, like, say I load some matches and then I realize it was accidentally marked as do not publish, but I really do want it to be published. Little things like that, things that I can't edit myself. If I notice immediately that I loaded it incorrectly, how can I get that fixed quickly? How do I get into the queue to get that fixed?
You would just have to contact directory changes at ahrinet.org, and then that'll get added as a ticket for the directory.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
And actually, the same goes for any records that are locked, any ones that cannot be edited because they're locked for testing or for any other reason. We would just have to get a description of the change. Obviously, Austin, as the administrator of the program, would have to review the request. But if it's something like, you just added a model and it's locked for testing, the DMG is locked for testing, but you can't add anything that's being required by a DOE report, you can send the information to directory changes, and then we will review that and see if we can add it to the directory through our admins.
What was that, again, directory changes, ahri.org, is that correct?
Directory changes at ahrinet.org.
Yeah, on this subject, in the past, we suggest email Marie or whoever else was in there. I assume you want to do the generic email now?
Yes. Yeah, that email goes to the ticketing system that will log it in.
And to the previous person's call or question, we have had typos that we've noticed immediately, and you guys typically are able to fix it before you even upload into the DOE database at night. If we catch it early enough in the day. So.
Right. Yeah, the overnight process actually doesn't start till like 3 a.m. Eastern time, so you have some time there. As long as it's done before that, you should be okay. I mean, we don't staff it 24 hours a day, but if we get the request, we'll add it to the ticketing system. All right, are there any other questions? Because we're almost running out of time.
We also have some combinations that seem to be marked as discontinued, and we've asked to have that reactivated through that ticketing system, and it seems like it's also been taking a while.
Over
a month.
And the combination didn't have anything, but certainly had to be discontinued.
Mm.
We didn't do nothing. How could it happen?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that last part again? We didn't catch that.
So there are some combinations that seem to be marked discontinued, I think without us doing so. We were wondering how could that have happened?
If a product was below the federal minimum, when the effective date kicked in, you should have gotten an email from Eric Chen notifying you that those are going to be marked discontinued because they're no longer allowed to be manufactured. Anything that's below the federal minimum, we mark as discontinued on the directory.
These were our private brand marketeer combinations, and the OEM combinations are still active.
Oh, okay.
We'll look into it. Can you do you know when you sent that that email so we can kind of narrow down our search?
We must have sent it a few times.
Check. We just sent it again today.
Okay. Yeah, that would be very helpful. Thanks. We'll definitely look into that one.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Is there anybody else that has a question? All right. Well, thank you, guys. This webinar will be posted online later for reference, so you guys can just view it whenever. And if you guys have additional questions, you can always just contact us here at AHRI. So, and also really take a look at that Excel spreadsheet that Austin sent out. We tried to include as much information as we could in there. And hopefully that'll assist you in adding records and also in addressing records that have errors. So if anything else comes up, just contact myself. This is Rupert or Austin, and he'll forward the question to the right person here at HRI, and we'll try to get the issues resolved as quickly as possible. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.